down to my heart is about to be out of my chest. And another thing, Pastor Scott, you did not call me your friend when you asked me to do this. I know you call many people your friends, but you just called me a pawn and you were like, hey, you're going to do this. Oh, no, she threw me under the bus. I wasn't even supposed to do this. She threw me under the bus. But I got asked to tell what Christmas means to me. And I've been through many, many trials where I didn't really even know what Christmas meant. I never knew what Christmas meant until maybe three and a half years ago. I lived in Lexington for a good 8 years, and God was never mentioned. I never knew really of God. I never knew about God. I remember one day I was sitting with my biological mom's boyfriend at the time, and we were watching this show. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's where people say that they've died, and then they come back to life, and they either saw heaven or hell. And I leaned over, and I looked at my biological mom's boyfriend, and I said, do you believe that could happen? Do you believe that you'll go to heaven or hell? He said, what? Gave me a look. And then after that, I mean, honestly, that was the only time that it was ever spoken of. When I lived in Lexington, we wasn't really blessed with money. When we got money, it wasn't spent on what it needed to be spent on. It was spent on other things. And around Christmas time each year, one of the kids that lived in the house, we had five kids living in the house at the time, and one of us out of the five would get a paper sent home with us, and I never thought anything about it. But I found out later it was called the Wish List. It was a church that would have you fill out this form and tell what your kids were interested in, and the kids would then receive gifts for the kids that and the families that could not receive much. And honestly, I was so embarrassed. I was very embarrassed by the fact that my mom couldn't afford presents for me or my brother or the other kids that were in the house. Soon after, I found that out about the wish list, maybe the fifth or sixth year I'd been living in Lexington, and we had been receiving it the entire time that I had been living there. After the eighth year, my biological mom got into an accident. It was a personal accident, and right there at Christmas, after Christmas, and I'm not gonna lie, that was the worst thing that could ever happen. How I looked at Christmas after she'd done that to me and my brother and my family, saying that she didn't want to be here, saying that she wanted to leave us, was the worst thing. Thinking that I had nobody, thought that I had nobody, when it turns out that I did have somebody and I just didn't know. I didn't know about what I had and who I had. I got saved in May, and then May of 2013, and I got baptized in April. Right after that, in July, I had my own accident, and it was a life or death situation. I either wasn't going to make it, or I was just going to be a vegetable and not know anything. One thing I do remember from my accident is I could remember everything. Everything was coming back to me. I could remember living in Lexington. It was kind of like a memory span, me going through all the memories that I had been through. And then I started to wake up in the helicopter, and I remember laying there and telling God, I was like, I cannot do this without you. You are the only reason and the only hope that I will be able to make it out of this. And then I kept repeating Philippians 4:13, and then I moved my foot, and the nurse opened my eyes and told me that I was okay and that I was going to be okay. Right before my accident and within those 2 years after my mom did what she did, I didn't think I had a purpose. I guess it was kind of a wishy-washy thing. I didn't know what life was about, and I didn't know if I was ever going to know what life was about. after my accident, I noticed a lot more. I noticed that it wasn't about what Christy had done to me or my family and how she had left me hanging dry. I started to notice that it was so much more to life than to letting one person ruin what I can do and what I know I can do. When I wake up on Christmas, not even only on Christmas morning, every morning, I have a roof over my head, and it's not a basement. It's not what I used to sleep in. It's not how it used to be. I have a room that was painted and done for me out of the sake that I made it through something. I walk into the hall, and I see Brooke and Brennan. Someone that looks forward to seeing me when I wake up and asking me, KK, have you seen the elf this morning? Do you know what the elf is doing? I said, no, I haven't seen the elf this morning. What's the elf doing? And they'll drag me to wherever the elf is and show me what the elf is doing. And then I have two parents, not someone that's left me hanging dry, not someone that has left me to just nowhere, somebody that has took me for me without any, hey, sorry, you have to live here because your mom done this to you, but because they're family and they treat me how parents should. This Christmas, I want to say that I am very beyond grateful and for the love from this church, just this church in general, and my family. Because if it wasn't for my family, I would not know who God was. I would have not been here today. I don't know how or who I would have been if I would have never been took out of Lexington. I know the true meaning of Christmas, even though I got presents sent to my house from a church. That church sent them with love, and I'm sure they prayed over them before they sent them. I know that it wasn't just because they thought they needed to, but they knew that somebody else was in need of them. So I'm thankful for my friends, my family, this church family, and the love that each and one of y'all have gave me. Thank you.
Sign that lineup that I gotta follow from her. I was a bit confused when Scott called me. It did end up being one of those, are you my friend? And I've told him 100 times no, but I still find myself up here in front of the pulpit. I did get confused. I thought it was more so a lay person's view of Scott during the holidays. It was I had about 35 pages. It was called Scott the Lighter Years, you know. But that's my stab to him. Hopefully I can drag this on. But before church started, a few of us were talking, and I started hearing that X amount of pages means 2 minutes. And I'm like, I've got about 30 seconds worth of stuff to talk about here, so. But no, Christmas has it's changed for me a lot over the years, more so in my understanding of my salvation and who that salvation came from. I can basically divide it in two halves. We'll call it kind of a before and after. But before, it was by all means the same worldly view of the holidays that we all see today. It was completely filled with the once and more once. The hustle and bustle of the season that drives us crazy. More and more and more is what drives that holiday spirit. The season literally becomes a time of getting that perfect gift, the newest and greatest gadget, and the thought of hoping that you get a lot of stuff this year. If we pause for a moment to think about what I just talked about, we see that this is still very much the season that we're in now. We see department stores launching Christmas the day after Halloween, in some places even earlier than that. They market it, and it allows it to do away with the Thanksgiving spirit. the giving of thanks for what you already have and what you should be thankful for. It turns into a, it rushes right into the me, what I want to get this year, what I am going to get, and what I'm going to fight to get. If we pause again for a second, don't think I'm just bashing the season and the way it goes on. I love Christmas. I've always loved Christmas. I can probably put money down on the fact that it'll probably be me that's up at 3:30, 4 in the morning shaking the boys and throwing things at them to get them up. We'll spend the next 30 minutes dodging things Mel's throwing at us for getting her up at that time of the morning, but that's what it's about. I'll have the same childhood spirit that I had when I was young, opening the gifts, all the joy that comes with that. If I look at it now, my newer meaning of Christmas, it's understanding that it's about the birth of our Lord and Savior. It gives me a deeper respect for this holiday. I'm sure I have the same want desire, but it becomes surpassed not in what I want, but what can I do for others? What can I give somebody else? You know, my Christmas list soon becomes a list of what you want to do for others rather than what you want to do for yourself. If you're able to slow down this season, slow down your mind and accept it for what it is, you'll see a lot of things. You can enjoy Christmas a lot better if you just stop and listen and see how everybody seems to be a little nicer to everybody around this time of year. You hear a lot more hellos, a lot more goodbyes. However small or large they are, you see miracles happening every day. And I always stand back and find it funny that the time of the year, you know, we got set aside to celebrate the birth of Jesus is when everybody then decides to be a little more like him. It'd be amazing to see if that carried year-round. So again, when you ask me to tell you what Christmas means to me, it's simple. It's a respect. It's a reverence for our Lord and Savior. It's being able to read the Christmas story with my family before the first gift is ever opened. We make a cake. We sing happy birthday. Those are the special moments. It's understanding, of course, we've heard Scott say this many times. It's understanding that without his birth, there'd be no Easter. If there was no Easter, I probably wouldn't even be up here right now with the chance to share. That's it.
I thought I would follow Pastor Scott's sermon structure and start by reading from the Bible, then throw in some statistics and facts, add some catchphrases and jokes, and finish on a heartfelt note. So. Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Over the years, the world population fluctuated and still does as we encounter illnesses like the plague of Justinian, which caused Europe's population to drop about 50% between 6th and 8th century AD. Or worse, such as the Civil War, 1861 to 1865, where 620,000 Americans died. The good news is there's great repopulation rate that counteracts those numbers and replenishes the reserves of our world. Nowadays, even though the birth rates are going down, the United States is the third populous country after India and China. About 4 million babies are born every year, reported by Baby Center. How am I doing so far? The most popular day for babies to make their entrance is Tuesday, followed by Monday. Interestingly enough, Sunday is the slowest day, with 35.1 fewer births on average. I'm sorry, than average. And even with those 4 million babies and over 7 billion people residing in the world, there was never and there will never be anyone like Jesus Christ. Amen. That one was not in the notes, it's free. Hey, Hey, at least I don't post stuff on Facebook about you. So today I am here to talk about Christmas from my point of view. It seems the closer we get to December 25th, the more people talk about decorations, presents, and resolutions. Honestly, we bought all the presents a month ago, decorated the tree in the house 3 weeks ago, and we'll give up on dieting on December 24th at 4 p.m. Therefore, we have plenty of time to concentrate on celebrating Jesus' birthday. It's funny how it was Jesus' birthday, yet he was the one who gave us a present, the gift of salvation. We decided to not give each other presents for Christmas this year, but rather do our part in celebrating Jesus' birthday by making resolutions to be better Christians, not once a year, but every day. By gifting our loved ones as often as we can, and not just with material things, and by learning to love ourselves the way we are, because God made us that way for a reason. Of course, all of you are wondering right now, well, what are you going to do with the presents? When are you going to give them? We will give each other presents as a New Year celebration and make it a family tradition. As for a heartfelt note, I would like to read a poem by an anonymous author. My Savior God and my best friend came down to earth to put to rest my sin, mistakes, forbidden fruit, and Christmas night is what it took. And on that night our King was born. Soon the Jews will look with scorn at what he's teaching, who he is, since now they can't do what they please. So here's my prayer this quiet night, the light in me to shine so bright, to prophesy how God changed all. Through Jesus we were all made whole. Thank you.
Well, you know it's you when you look down and you see that it's Pastor Scott calling, and when you answer, he says, "You know I like you." I had been thinking that I'd been sort of dreading. I said, "You know, I wonder if he'll ask me to do that next year." And when he called, I was like, "Oh, great!" You know, it came true. but when I started thinking about what Christmas means to me, I mean. Obviously, I'm sure everybody thinks the first thing my mind goes to is the decorations, which it does initially. But that's one of the things that's special to me about this time is all those special memories that you pull out from seeing all the different decorations from that you have. Like one of my favorite things is with my grandparents, like my meemaw that lives just down the road, she has a little Christmas village, and I enjoy putting that out every year. And my Mimi, she has gorgeous ornaments and such a broad variety. I just love seeing those ornaments every year, and just the decorations in general. But I got to thinking, everybody is, like David mentioned, everybody tries to be joyful at Christmas, and a lot of times you think that, you wonder why, say, January 2nd, that joy just starts depleting. It's like everybody gets so heightened, and then it just falls away, but why should that joy stop? Why should we let the joy of Christmas end December 25th at 11:59? Why does that need to stop? If we didn't have Christmas, we would all be hopeless. We ought to live that joy every single day. And Sandy Baird showed me something a while back, and I wanted to share it with you. She told me about this little girl, and her mom was teaching her piano lessons, and she said, you can share the love of Jesus with everybody with 8 notes. And the little girl said, "What are you talking about?" And she said, "Well, play me a scale." Add a little bit of time in it. She said, "Do it like this." you know, joy to the world, the Lord is come. And if he hadn't come, I mean, we would, you know, we'd be hopeless. I mean, there'd be no reason for any of trees, garlands, lights, you know, as much as we all love seeing all the glitter and the presents and everything, you know, so my challenge to myself and to everybody here is keep the joy of Christmas a lot living throughout the entire year instead of just letting it go and not thinking that we have to be, that you can be happy, but to live it every day. And I guess that's what Christmas means to me, is just being and keeping that joy in your heart throughout the whole year.
Well, when Pastor Scott called, I didn't know who all was, but I say I'm a senior member of this group. But my perspective of Christmas has changed over the years. When I was little, and I'm looking at all these little kids out here, I couldn't wait for Christmas to get here. The year was so long. From the time, say, school started till I got out for Christmas, it had to be 8 months long. It had to be. And then we were out for Christmas, and Santa Claus came. We didn't get much before Christmas. We couldn't afford it. So, and every time Mama went to the store, we didn't get something. So we got it at Christmas, and we were so excited. And we were up at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning to see what he got us. And sometimes we heard Santa Claus leaving as we got up. So, yeah. And Mama and Daddy say, "Y'all going back to bed? You hear him?" That's okay. And as I grew older, I was saved at the age of 16. I started thinking about things differently a little bit. You know, I wasn't in church all my life, but I was in church a great deal. But what God had done didn't really sink in until I accepted Christ as my Savior. You know, I started thinking about Mary. She was probably about 15 years old. She was very young. Can you imagine what a 15-year-old girl would think, how she would feel, if an angel came to her and said, "You're going to have a baby, and this child is going to be the Savior of the world"? You know, at 16, I wasn't ready for a child, so I can't imagine how a 15-year-old girl could do that. And then as I got older and had my own children, I thought, you know, Mary was very special. Once you have a child, you'll do anything within your power to keep that child safe. Anything at all. And Mary knew. She knew what Jesus was going to have to do. Can you imagine the heartbreak she had, knowing that her child, this child that came from God, was going to have to suffer and die? You know, it breaks my heart today to know what she had to go through. And as I got older, and I have grandchildren now, you know, I'm back to thinking about the joy of Christmas again. You know, it's nice to spoil grandchildren. I can send them home. I don't have to worry about it anymore. I can get the loudest toys I want to. Yeah. Last night, we were outside. I don't know if any of y'all saw the meteorites last night. There's going to be another shower tonight. But I was outside, we were outside looking at the meteorites. And I was looking up in the sky, and you know, I was thinking, you know, God is tremendous. How could he hang those planets upon, you know, thousands upon thousands of miles away, but yet you still see their lights? He puts a light in each one of us. And it's up to us to let that light shine. You know, whether it be Christmas time, whether it be Valentine's, whether it be the 4th of July, it doesn't make any difference. Christmas is every day because Jesus came to this earth to die on a cross so that we could have his love and share his love every single day, not just one time a year. And that's when you see most of the time people share Jesus' love, one time a year. And that's sad. That is so sad. And the older I get, the more I know that Jesus wants us to share that love every single day. It's not, you know, you don't have to do big things. Just tell somebody, I'm thinking about you. I know what you're going through. I've been there. You know, life's tough. People need to hear that someone cares. And if we say we care, if they don't know Jesus, and they know that we do know Jesus, that may be the little spark they need that sets a fire in their hearts. And Tammy read the scripture I was going to read, so I'm not going to reread it. But when Jesus was born, his own people didn't accept him. They weren't expecting a Savior who would save your soul. They wanted an army that would keep them from their enemies. But what bigger enemy do we have than Satan? You know, we can either accept what Jesus offers every day, his love, his hope, his cleansing of our souls, or we can, you know, if we accept him, then we're having eternity in heaven, or we cannot accept him and have an eternity in hell. Those are your two, you know, which do you want? Me, I want to spend it in heaven. I've got people in heaven waiting for me. And the older I get, the more excited I get about seeing them. You know, I'm known around the house as Scrooge. I don't get in the Christmas, the traditional Christmas spirit. You know, I love Christmas. I love the meaning of Christmas. I love the fact that Jesus was born on Christmas Day to die some 33 years later on a cross to save me. All this other stuff, I'm not into going and buying and doing that. But I am into worshiping my God. And that's all I have.